mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count our chances.
Gonna be another one of those days here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, the old 10-pound, 5-pound. Lots of stuff to get to, so let's get right to it. Jordan Love yesterday, quarterback of your Green Bay Packers, appearing on NFL Live. Now, what in the world, Gabe Neitzel, would anyone want to talk to Jordan Love about yesterday in the wake of his teammate Josh Jacobs making the rounds at Radio Row? Would anyone ask Jordan Love his reaction to Josh Jacobs' comments?
Be irresponsible if you did not. So, yeah, I got to imagine that somebody actually did step up and ask that question.
Right out of the gate. The folks over at NFL Live did talk to Jordan Love about Josh Jacobs. They were not the only one. He was on some podcasts as well, did some other hits as well. But let's hear from Jordan Love yesterday reacting to Josh Jacobs' comments.
My computer crashed.
Oh, no!
Does that mean we can go home?
No, that does not mean that we can go home.
All right, well, that'll give me a moment to mention where we are today.
First of all, you're already at home. Where are you going?
I was in the pool too late last night.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for you.
Of course you were.
We are at the Potawatomi Sportsbook this morning, getting ready for the big game this weekend. The NFL honors were last night. We're going to get to some of the awards that were handed out last night, in addition to the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees who were announced last night. Has some Green Bay connections as well. Joshy, you let me know when the computer is back up and running, but we'll vamp until then. How's that sound?
Lovely.
You can hear it in his voice. He's efforting back there.
Was it good? Was it bad? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Was it too much? Was it too little?
Are you referring to the NFL awards, the NFL honors?
No. I'm talking about Jordan Love addressing what Josh Jacobs said. Am I going to like it?
I think you are going to like it more than what you heard from Josh Jacobs. I think that there was, you know, quarterbacks are like politicians sometimes, right? Like, they got to make everybody happy. So, that you know, there are diplomatic ways to answer things. And I feel that is how Jordan Love approached the situation.
Yeah, and you know how Chewy approaches situations. He has you do his work for him. So now the sound is going to play. And Chewy doesn't even have to authentically react to the sound. Because, Gabe, you just laid out the breadcrumbs for him to react the way that you think he's going to react.
Well, for you thinking that I have any control over Chewy, that's a great job by me. Like, just smoke and mirrors to think that I've got control over Mark Chmura.
And Chewy making you think that you have no control over him is also a great marketing job by him. All right, let's hear from Jordan Love yesterday about what Josh Jacobs said about the offense and the wide receivers earlier.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think we have different guys that can play and do different things better than other guys. And I think we have a wide or a deep receiver room. Obviously, like you mentioned, Tucker Kraft. But I think we got a lot of guys that can grow into that role. And I think we're still young. We're still building this thing. And guys are still proving themselves. So, Josh, you know, he made those comments. And, I'm always right for my guys. I love the guys we have. I always say, if you add good players to an already good offense, I think, you know, you can make it a better team.
That's the way. I know people don't like that. I know they probably like more of the Josh Jacobs sounder, but that's how you have to answer that without offending anyone. So he said pretty much the same thing without offending anyone. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think
I know it's boring. I know it's boring, Gabe, and no one wants to hear that, but I don't think people put enough emphasis on the locker room and the chemistry that has to happen within the locker room. Because I can tell you this, and I'll bring it up right now, and it's relevant. Sterling Sharp goes into the Hall of Fame. But when Sterling Sharp stood up in front of the team the night before in a team meeting, we are to kick off the season against the Minnesota Vikings, and people are excited because the year before we go 9-7, and they're excited. We haven't been in the playoffs in 26 years, and everything is trending up. And he stands up in front of the team. He says, I'm not playing unless I get a new contract. That fractured the team. Fractured it. Half of the team went with Sterling, and the other half, and it was, remember, it's a different game back in 1993 than it is today, because all the players give a crap about is themselves. That's not how it was in 93. That fractured the room. And we're like, half of us are like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Well, it sounds like some people only care about themselves. If I'm, you know, splitting some hair.
But I'm just saying, the chemistry in a locker room, I mean, it's not everything, but it, it's important that guys get along and guys respect one another. And if you do have a problem with a player or a person, you do it behind closed doors. You don't air your grievances in the media. That's all I'm saying.
What Jordan was able to do here, I think, is kind of put out the fire a little bit, right? Like, be kind of step in and go, hey, we've got really good guys, but if they decide they want to add somebody, we're cool with that too. Right? Like, to be able to keep the door open of, yeah, like, because, you don't want to shut the door on, no, we don't need anybody. You know, you don't want to come to the guy's defense that badly, but still say, hey, we've got a lot of guys who could do a lot of different things, but if you had good players, we're already that good. We're going to find a way to make it work. Like, that's the diplomatic way to answer that mm-hmm. question when it's lobbed your way. He handled it a lot better than Josh Jacobs did. Because the issue with Jacobs for me was, not only did he go on, you know, Pro Football Talk and say it, well, then he showed up on the Kay Adams Show and he said, like, he was making the rounds and constantly doubling down on what he was saying. It's not like, oh, hey, I accidentally said that thing like five times, but it was an accident all five times.
And I'm willing to give Jordan Love credit for his ability to read the room. Like, good job. Your teammate stepped in it a little bit. Again, I will be on the record as saying I don't think he did step in it. I don't think it was that big of a deal. I think it's a big boy league, and I think you should be able to handle it if your teammate says y'all didn't play up to the standards that we as an organization have set. But going back to Jordan Love, good job, Jordan. You saw how people reacted to Josh Jacobs. You know it's true. You want to be accurate. You want to be honest. You want people to not look at you and go, okay, buddy, whatever you say. So you pivot a little bit. You tweak it a little bit. You deliver it a little more diplomatically, so everybody can swallow it and go, that's a leader. What a leader Jordan Love is, because he says the thing, but he doesn't get under people's skin saying it.
And maybe you give Josh Jacobs a pass because he came from a culture that was just doo-doo, you know, that being the Las Vegas Raiders. And maybe he just hasn't been in this organization long enough to understand how things like that work here. You know, and let me ask you this. When is the All right, I'm going to be careful. When is the last time a player of substance...
Wait, now you've decided to be careful?
Well, I can't remember if Rodgers did or didn't, but when was the last time a player of substance ran his mouth set and said, I want out of here, I want to trade? When's the last time? That just doesn't happen here.
Darius, I don't know if he requested a trade,
okay,
but
he's
obviously
an idiot.
He was out.
Yeah. I mean, you
is
can't.
Is your point, Chu, that people don't request trade? Is your point, Chu, that people don't request trades because the Green Bay organization is a historic, storied franchise that does things the right way, and people want to be associated with that organization?
Yes, and the last time I went up there, I remember,
in 2006.
No, I don't think it was that long ago. I think it was, I don't know, it was probably 6-7 years ago. They took me up to the media room, put me in front of a camera, and they said, talk a little bit about Green Bay culture and what you're expected of as a player here. And then they show these to the rookies when they come in on how, you know, Green Bay Packers carry themselves. Now, it was distracting with James Campen standing behind the cameraman completely naked. That was a little bit disturbing and distracting, but that's the kind of idiot he is.
Sure.
But that's what they do with your alumni players when you go there. And they show this in front of rookies when they come to Green Bay, what's expected of a player when he becomes a Green Bay Packer.
So I want to take this one step further again, because Jordan now goes and makes the circuits. Now, he said other things that were important as well. He wants to work on his footwork. He also said that he wants to make more plays with his legs. All positive things, all things that should make Packers fans excited for the Jordan Love evolution. But when you start parsing what he said specifically about those players, he said, if you add good players to a good team, that's a good thing. Do you think Jordan Love wants to add to that wide receivers room, Gabe?
Yes. Yeah. I think he'd be foolish not to want a receiver that has proven something, that has proven they can consistently get separation, somebody that on third and six, you know, I can trust this guy. This is the play we're running. We're going to him.
So doesn't that position in and of itself indict the guys who are already in the room? Doesn't Jordan Love, the quarterback, wanting somebody else to come in and be that safety blanket, be that security blanket, already say, you guys weren't good enough? Nobody stepped up when given the opportunity to be that guy, so we got to outsource that role.
Yeah, but you just can't say that out loud. You can't say that out loud and be like, hey, you guys stink, right? Because then, I mean, what's the difference between that and some of the things Aaron Rodgers did?
Yeah, but Josh Jacobs didn't say, you guys stink.
Well, as players...
And not in so many words, but, I mean, that's how it can be interpreted.
You have to look at yourself.
No, because he said, we really like these guys, but if they decide to add someone, hey, adding a good player to an already good offense, because we already have good players, is good.
But what I asked you was, do you think he wants to add? You said yes.
Yeah.
You're basing that obviously on the breadcrumbs that he has dropped down, either in this conversation or your eyes watching the team. Look, the reality is they need to add someone, because the guys they have this past year didn't do the job. So even Jordan Love being like, yeah, adding good players to a good team is a good thing. I agree with you. I think he wants to add to that wide receiver group. And while he might not have said it as implicitly, and I still, again, will say I don't think Josh Jacobs was trying to hurt feelings. I don't think he was trying to be a bad leader. I think he was articulating what he saw from his year in Green Bay and for the offense. I think Jordan Love is saying the same thing. And guys could, if they wanted to, interpret that negatively. They could consider that an indictment. My guess is they won't. My guess is they won't. But to me, both of them are saying the same thing.
They're not, though. It's not even close.
But they are. They are saying it wasn't good enough.
No, because Jordan never said it wasn't good enough. He just said, he's playing both sides pretty perfectly. Hey, we got really good guys. Because now if the Packers don't add someone, now the conversation is, oh, man, Josh Jacobs is going to be really pissed off, huh? He's going to be really ticked off because they didn't add someone. He said they needed someone. Jordan didn't say they needed anyone. He said, hey, if you add good players to an already good offense, that's a good thing. But that's not saying, oh, if you add some, like, he's not saying, oh, we have to go out and add someone. So if they don't add someone, Jordan can still go, hey, I said it, you know, right before the Super Bowl. We got guys that can, you know, a number of guys who can do a number of different things. I think we can get the job done with the guys we have.
So, Chu, before we move on, and we'll talk to Jason Wilde about this shortly. Joshy, I want to hear number five on the sound sheet this morning. Jordan Love talking about the inconsistencies and how he wants them to be more explosive.
There was definitely a lot more expectations coming in the season. And, you know, I think the main theme of the season for us was just inconsistent. You know, I felt like it was some really good, and it was some just not consistent enough to be able to be one of those top offenses in the league. But, you know, we were able to generate a lot of explosive plays, and I think when we can keep building and keep honing in on all the details and just being that consistent offense like you see some of these offenses do, where they just go out and put up all these points every week and do the same stuff, I think – that's where we need to get to.
Can they get there with the unit they currently have?
No. No.
I would bet no.
They can be very good. They can be very good, but, I mean, it's just in most times GMs in organizations are very impatient when it comes to, you know, the position group like the receivers. They don't have time, man. The window is just like, the window's doesn't stay open for 10 years. It stays open for like four where you're in it. And they don't have time to waste another year because the window's open, you know? The window's open. And let me just say this. As a receiver, you got to look at yourself objectively, right? Because I went through a stretch of my career where they were ready for me to start in my third year, pull my hamstring, right? They were patient with me. I come back in week two, and I remember it was County Stadium. We were playing the Dolphins. Pull my hamstring again, you know, and I'm not like, I wasn't dumb enough to think, well, they're going to wait again. Like, no, you only have so much time as a player to prove yourself, and then they're moving on. And then they're moving on. They fully expected someone to separate from this group, and it didn't happen. And they don't have time to sit around and do the same thing next year. Now, they can do it and sit around and wait with this group with a number one and wait for someone to emerge. But if they have the same kind of year next year as they did this year, they're moving on. You don't have time.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to get to Jason Wilde. Got a lot of stuff in the show this morning. But the last thing I'll say in the on this is this. If Jordan Love's comments yesterday on NFL Live existed in a vacuum and weren't a follow-up to Josh Jacobs' comments from the day before, I think we're crushing him this morning. We're crushing him. I think we're like, are you serious, dude? Like, you're the leader on this team. You need to be emphatic about the improvements that the offensive players around you need to make in order to get where this team, this franchise, expects to be on a yearly basis. But because he is coming off of the Josh Jacobs one, which some people feel were too harsh, and he backed off on the impact, we're going, bravo. Excellent job. Really good one.
Could not disagree more.
We'll talk to Jason Wilde about it, see what he thinks about the way that Jordan Love responded to the inquiries about the offense right after this.
Change the way you do business and take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for you and your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Great day to have Jason Wilde weighing in on Packers content. We are live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook here in advance of the Super Bowl, the big game this Sunday, where Pottawatomie will be having all sorts of things. We'll get to some of those as the show goes on. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Terrible.
Are you
what?
Talk to me, Goose.
So I say this with respect for my colleagues that are on the voting panel for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is a hard job. I respect that they do it. I have no interest in doing that job. But they changed the rules in August. They now have a four-person class, which, again, just because Deion Sanders complains about the bar being lowered doesn't mean we have to change all the rules. If you want to limit the number of players from the modern era classes, the 15 finalists from that, go right ahead. But the fact that Mike Holmgren was not elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame last night, contrary to what some news sites have posted this morning, is ridiculous. There are coaches that have gotten in under the previous rules that are far less deserving than Mike. And I think it is preposterous that Mike was competing with Sterling Sharp, even though the seniors category and the coach category are separate. I cannot believe he didn't get in. I am thrilled for Sterling Sharp. I never covered him from afar. It seems like he was more of a me guy than a we guy. But the bottom line is that great that he's in. He was a great player whose career was shortened by injury like Gale Sayers. But the fact that Mike Holmgren is not in is proof that they went a bridge too far with trying to restrict the number of people that get into the hall. And I'm really disappointed for Mike, who, by the way, is 76 years old now.
Is he
and
really?
Next year, unless Belichick comes back to the NFL, Belichick is going to be the nominee for the coaches next year. So then Mike's not getting in next year either. So I think they screwed this up royally.
Yeah, Jason, it's not the only thing that people were frustrated about last night. Did you see that Lamar Jackson was first team All-Pro with 30 first place votes? Josh Allen got 18. But then Josh Allen won the MVP award last night with 27 votes, Lamar Jackson getting 23 votes. It's the exact same voting class. And people were saying, well, I understand that there might be a little bit of nuance in the roles there. But that gave people pause. That raised some eyebrows as well. I will tell you this. I watched the NFL honors last night. Absolute crap show. Wow, is it bad? It was a lousy production, and they got to get that thing cleaned up going forward if you want people to be interested and take it seriously as like the pinnacle of accomplishment for the year headed into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I want to clarify one thing. So the folks that vote for All-Pro and MVP and all of the Associated Press awards is one panel. The Hall of Fame group is another panel. And I thought the same thing you did, Jen. I think this has only happened one other time in the modern era where...
Two other times?
I know, yes. One of them was Elway, right? Where Elway, yes, was not the first team All-Pro, but he was the MVP.
And that's basically, Jason, the other one, well, because somebody had to be second team. It's 2003 when Peyton Manning and Steve McNair split the award, so they were co-MVPs. So, I mean, somebody of that has to be first team. Someone's got to be second team. So that's the way that played out. But McNair was also second team and was elected league MVP.
So, I understand. I really don't want to be disrespectful to my colleagues that are on those panels because it is a hard job that I'm not qualified for. I'm sorry. I do not spend my free time watching other NFL games that I'm not covering or that don't affect, like, they're not an upcoming Packers opponent. I'll have it on when I'm writing at night, if it's Monday night or Thursday night or whatever else, but I am not qualified. So you could take what I'm saying with a grain of salt if you want, but again, I'll give you an example. Don Coryell, who I absolutely adored as a kid growing up because I loved the San Diego Chargers, Mike Holmgren took two different franchises to the Super Bowl. He went to three Super Bowls. The fact that he is not in the Hall of Fame, and Lord knows when he'll get in now, if at all. I hate it when people change the rules and move the goalposts. And under the previous rules, there's no doubt he's in. But because in August they decided to change the rules, now he's not. And I just think that sucks.
Jason, Jordan Love said in an interview in New Orleans that next year he's got to use his legs more. You think that's coming from? You think that's coming from LaFleur or it's coming from Love?
I think they probably agree on that too. I mean, we're seeing what the league is becoming, right? I mean, those guys that are more of a threat that way are better players, right? I mean, we just had the debate about the MVP quarterbacks and the first team all pro quarterback. Both those guys in different ways, obviously, have that threat. And I think Jordan can do far more of that. Again, I understand he had two different leg injuries that certainly factored in, but he ran for like 83 yards this year. Like, I didn't check the New York Jets stats, but I'm guessing that's roughly the same amount that Rodgers ran for this year. So that's definitely true. You know, I also saw his response to the Josh Jacobs comments. I thought he did a pretty good job. It was kind of a milquetoast answer, but I thought he did a pretty good job of not disputing Josh Jacobs' points while also not insulting the guys that he's throwing the football to.
Jason, with it being such a small class, is Sterling a big enough draw where the Packers could be playing in the Hall of Fame game?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if Ben Brust's reporting, which I never thought I'd say that phrase, is accurate. He texted me last night when he was about to post that because he's a good teammate and he wanted me to have a heads up. And I was at the UW-Green Bay Youngstown State women's game. When he texted me that, I was like, wow, Ben, love it. And then I thought, wow, Matt LaFleur, not going to love it. So he handles those overseas trips so well. But I would venture to say that if they're going to Ireland, as Ben's sources have told him, I doubt that they would also stick them with the Hall of Fame game. But look, Sterling, who, you know, Chewy knows this, and it was before my time on the beats, Sterling, who never talked to the media, local media anyway, I am very eager to hear his speech. So if they go, maybe I'll road trip to Canton just to hear him speak for the first time in person.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great weekend. You got a pick for the Super Bowl before we let you go?
Taylor Swift joining Kendrick Lamar. That's my pick.
All right. Kendrick Lamar, the
Wait,
halftime
You might be able to... That might be one of the 1,000 prop bets you can make here. I got to circle through. If you want me, Jason, I can throw $5 down on that for you if I find it.
That would be great. Yes, Sydney's very... That's the only reason she really cares about the game, and I'm with her. So I want to see her come out and sing Bad Blood with Kendrick Lamar. So I know you guys got to go. So enjoy Pottawatomie. We're going to be down there, I think, in about a month or so for our show. So I'm really excited to see it. I have not seen the new sports book. So keep crushing it down there, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
It's glorious, Jason. Can't wait to get you down here. All right, he's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We take a break right now. We got to get to Craig Karmazin coming up next. Still a lot of stuff to get to. Don't forget, we've got Superb Owl Squares coming up twice this morning. Your last two opportunities to join our Superb Owl Squares board headed into the big game. Stick around.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
great to have Craig Karmazin join the show. Good morning, Craig. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Just a beautiful New Orleans morning here.
That's what I thought. I figured you were down there in the Big Easy. I want to start with the Bucks. What did you think of what the Bucks did over the past week?
Oh, you know how I am. I'm like a sentimental person, so like it was sad for me. Like the, you know, we'll get to the idea of how this gives us a better chance to win and how it gives us more flexibility and all that. But I mean, Chris Middleton is in some ways like right there with Giannis, like is the Bucks. Like since I've been involved in the team, Chris has been the constant. Chris is so different than any star in the NBA. And I call him a star because he was a second round draft pick who ends up as an all-star, ends up as an Olympian, ends up as a world champion, ends up, you know, in some of the biggest moments in Bucks history with the guy as the guy with the ball in his hands and came through so many times. And in this community, like there's NICU units around Milwaukee who would see Chris Middleton unannounced because of what he had gone through, you know, when they were having a child and, you know, giving back to other families going through things. So, you know, to lose Chris and his family from the community and to not have him on the team, first and foremost, is sad. So that's, I mean, that is my first thing that I thought, and I haven't totally gotten over that just yet. I know I will, but very similar to when Jrue Holiday, you know, left. I mean, these guys give so much to us as fans and the community, and it's sad to see them go.
Craig, did you get a chance to hear what Eric Name of The Athletic said on Wilde and Tausch?
I did not.
Well, he essentially said that the trade probably isn't great for this year, but it could be good in the future. Would you agree with that? Well, that's what he said, Gabe, didn't he?
Not really. No,
all right,
not really.
What did he say?
He said it lowers the championship ceiling for the Bucks, but it does raise the floor.
Well, that's essentially what I said.
That's not
ipso facto, it's what I said. So,
yeah, and I don't know that I look at it that way. I think I look at it as it's a gamble on the fact that Kyle Kuzma can be the player he was when he was playing competitive basketball, which the Washington Wizards haven't been doing in his 5 years there. So I think if he is able to do that on both ends of the court, he gives the Bucks things that they did not necessarily have with this version of Chris Middleton that we had seen this year. And so I, of course, what Eric says always makes sense because he knows the team as well as anyone. I think the question is Kyle Kuzma, who's been a terrible shooter this year, did part of that have to do with just going through a slump? Did that part of that have to be doing less engaged because the quality of his team? And can he be a better shooter and an overall better player than he's been this year? Because he's obviously shown it in the past, and he was a world champion in the bubble with the Lakers.
And me and Gabe are officially broke up for the rest of the show.
I was Ben Bruss started going when
Gabe,
when you
Gabe, Ben Bruss just texted me, the expert on basketball of all the shows, and said tomato tomato.
That's no. I mean, he was.
Why is Ben Bruss kissing your ass lately?
I don't know.
He's just been all over it this week.
He's my new guy.
He's feeding you answers to the trivia questions yesterday or the day before. Like, and now this is very bizarre.
When you need a ride to the airport, you ask Benny from now on.
Oh.
He'll take me to the airport. It'll just be the Appleton Airport.
Gabe will be announcing those four straight Brook Lopez three. How about game calls of those Bucks games? Those are impressive. I hope everyone's listening to the Bucks in 6 minutes podcast.
Oh, and there's nothing Gabe likes more than being called out or complimented on the radio, Craig. Yeah. Good job. Look at this color of his face right now.
I think he stinks.
Good. I'm glad you think that.
Good career choice, Gabe. I just want to blend in and not be noticed. I'm going to be someone who talks for a living. Good idea.
So Craig, we want to talk about the Packers as well. There's been a lot of conversation and debate about the comments that Josh Jacobs made earlier this week, the reaction to them with Jordan Love. Gabe and I disagree on this. I think that if Jordan Love's comments existed in a vacuum today, and he was just asked on NFL Live about whether or not the offense needs more, an upgrade, whatever word you want to use, I think we'd be like, oh my God, that was the most milquetoast, boring answer. Take charge. You're supposed to be a leader. You need to hold these guys' feet to the fire. But because it was coming off of Josh Jacobs, where some people thought was a little too harsh, we are complimenting him for the way he delivered the message. How did you interpret both of the ways these two guys said the same thing, which is the offense wasn't good enough this past season?
Yeah, I mean, I think they both said kind of what you'd think they'd say. And Josh Jacobs is able to speak a little more freely because he's not the quarterback. And I think we know the quarterback speaks more for the organization. And Jordan Love is new at doing it. You know, he's in his third year of speaking for the organization now. And he gave the perfect answer. I mean, Jordan Love has been, you know, fantastic off the field. I mean, for a guy to, in this day and age, in the social media world, in the new media world, he has come in and done absolutely everything right off the field. You can talk about an interception against the 49ers or the Raiders in regular season games. You can talk about him not being perfect, but there is no criticism anybody can have of Jordan Love off the field, and certainly not of the most recent comments.
Craig, you're down in New Orleans. We are hanging out at Potawatomi.
So Jordan Love was at the Toyota-thon booth yesterday, signing a Toyota and doing interviews in front of a Toyota. And
I think they came together with a quick partnership.
That's three unpaid Toyota mentions on our show, Craig.
Yeah. Well, no, what I'm saying is I don't actually get it. Is the point that, like, he gets good at the end of the year, and that's like when Toyotas go on sale. Like, I hear people mention it, but I don't get it.
Okay, well, so now I have to explain Toyota-thon to you.
Could have Googled it.
Yeah, like, so Toyota-thon's a year-end sale that they have that starts, yeah, like in the middle of November, goes through early January, and that has happened to coincide with when Jordan Love has played his best football. People have taken notice of this, and that became the social media joke.
Yeah, okay,
and then he turned that into dollars for himself with an actual Toyota partnership.
The problem is Toyotathon ends in January.
Yeah, we need it to end in February.
So that really is what we
You're a powerful guy,
towards.
Craig. Can you get them to extend it to, like, you know, middle of February, like
Even
Valentine's
if it's
Day?
Just in name alone. Like, whatever the deal is that they extend during Toyotathon, we'll just do a wink wink. Okay, yeah, sure. You don't have to extend that for another 3 weeks, but if you could just extend Toyotathon, I feel like that might help our guy out.
So basically tell them if they really are going to have a partnership with Jordan Love, he's, you know, I could convince Jordan that he should only be willing to do it if Toyota-thon will run through February.
Correct.
I can do that, actually. I think I could do that while I'm here. I could get that done. That's my mission the rest of this trip.
Hell yeah. I'm excited. You got any bets you like for this game?
So my bet that I went with, and again, I feel good about this, but I have had a bad run lately. My best bet of the postseason was Washington teased up to +10.5 against the Eagles that I went heavy on, and that did not go well for me.
No.
Yeah. So I'm going with another tease, but it's part of a parlay. I have Saquon to score a touchdown, Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown, and the Chiefs +5.5. I have those three things parlayed. That is my
best.
And
what are you getting?
Because I feel like the Chiefs have played every game close. So
yes,
that gives me. So there's obviously huge minus odds because both Jalen and Saquon are expected to score touchdowns, and then the Chiefs also are expected to, you know, be +5.5. But you combine all of those and that gives me, let's see, my actual odds are, ooh, I went to the wrong app. you know, I may have a few different apps where I, when I'm not in Wisconsin and can't be at Pottawatomie, where I have a bet or two. So got it right here.
Survey says.
That is. Ooh, I'm trying to do the math.
Holy moly!
Well, it's okay. So, what's 250 to pay 812.50? That's what.
Oh my
it
gosh,
is.
I can't do the math. Sounds good though.
Those are the odds. It's pretty big plus odds.
Sounds like
though, right?
+350 plus something like that, right?
Yeah. No, it's over.
You're the one who does the betting show here.
Might be closer to 375.
Yeah. So it pays over 3-1, and all those three things. Don't we feel like those are going to happen? Jalen gets a rushing touchdown.
No.
Saquon gets a rushing touchdown, and Chiefs keep it within 5.5.
No.
Chewy, one of those three things is not going to happen.
The Eagles aren't winning the game.
No, he's not saying the Eagles are going to win.
No. I'm saying if the Chiefs win or lose by 5, I win. I win if the Chiefs win.
Okay.
What if the Eagles win?
Then he
if
doesn't.
He doesn't
win. This is how gambling works, buddy.
Yeah.
If the Eagles win, I still win as long as they don't win by 6 points or more.
Oh, the Eagles are going to crush them. It'll be a 14-point game.
I thought he just said the Eagles were going to. You know what? We got to let Craig go, but we can continue to figure out what the heck is going on between your ears this morning right after this. Craig, have a great one. Enjoy New Orleans. We will see you again very soon.
Thanks, pal.
That was an impressive showing by all you guys.
Wait a minute.
We
he
like
said.
Wait, what did I do?
You're there. You're just part of it.
I also was wondering what I did as I'm over here trying to do the math in my head because Craig can't find the right spot on the app that tells him the odds for his three-leg parlay.
You didn't really do anything wrong. You just contributed, so I'm taking it all out.
He said.
Guilty
if
by association.
The Eagles, if the Eagles win by more than 5.5, he loses.
It's want to play some parabolic squares, guys?
We do.
800-990-3776.
I'm just trying
to. Why can't it just be?
System.
I'm picking the Eagles and the spread is 3. Why does everything have to be so flipping difficult?
I'm starting to see why you struggled after you played in the betting sphere. Like, this is really becoming a clear picture for
me. Yeah, it
really
is. Good point.
800-990-3776.
Get your dialing fingers ready. It is time to play Superb Owl Squares here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Light up those lines. We'll have your trivia questions right after this.
Still time to get all your food for Sunday, and a visit to Bunzel's Meat Market in Milwaukee will help you get ready for the big game. Check out these specials that they have at Bunzel's this week. Fresh, all natural Kansas City strip steaks, $24.99 per pound. Those are available today. Those are available tomorrow. You can get Philly cheesesteak meat at $22.99 a pound. Bacon, onion, and cheddar brat, $6.89 a pound. Bunzel's own smoked and duly sausage, $6.89 a pound. So many great things. Don't forget about the monthly meat deal on top of all this. And if you go to Bunzel's, stop at the deli, grab some lunch, grab some dinner. You're not going to regret it. I do that every single time. I'm at Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh. Find all of their specials online at bunzels.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like it's, everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, only two opportunities left, and this is one of them to be on our Superb Owl Squares board. Joshy's going to handle the calls this morning back in our studios. Joshy, who do we have first?
First up is our guy Dumpy in West Bend. Dumpy, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm ready, and I was born to lose.
All right, Dumpy, here is your question to kick off Superb Owl Squares today. If you get it right, you get 10 squares on the squares board that Joshy will be randomly assigning after the show today when we have everybody in. Which quarterback ranks second and career passing yards in the Super Bowl behind Tom Brady? Which quarterback ranks second in career passing yards in the Super Bowl behind Tom Brady?
Joe Montana.
Kurt Warner is the correct answer. Kurt Warner.
Dumpy, I got a feeling we'll be hearing from you again in about an hour.
I think he's already calling back.
Who's next, Josh?
Next up, we have Scott and Ray Scene.
All right, Scott, which team has scored the most points in a Super Bowl loss? Which team has scored the most points in a Super Bowl loss?
Ooh. Ooh.
Need an answer. Need an answer.
I'm gonna go with the New England Patriots.
That is incorrect. It is the Eagles from 2 years ago when they scored 35 points and lost on that last second field goal.
Next one up is Eric in Madison. Eric, you are on.
All right, Eric, which is the first Super Bowl that went to overtime? First Super Bowl that went to overtime.
First. I don't even have a guess. Patriots.
I need
another team. We'll put him out of his misery. Tony in Brookfield. Tony, you're on the air.
Give us the answer to that one.
Patriots right. Falcons, Super Bowl 51. So the comeback from 28-3 ended in overtime for the Patriots. Prior to Patrick Mahomes in 2022, who was the last player to win MVP and the Super Bowl in the same season?
Let's go with Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, incorrect. Brady is incorrect. The correct answer, Kurt Warner, 1999.
A lot of Kurt Warner this morning on the show. He was on the NFL Honors last night. Now he's in our trivia. What do we got next, Josh?
Let's go up to Peter in Bayview. Peter, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Peter. Three starting quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl wearing number 15. Patrick Mahomes, Bart Starr, who is the third?
Doug Williams.
Jeff Hostetler. Jeff Hostetler wore 15 in Super Bowl 25 playing against the Buffalo Bills.
Tim in Franklin. Tim, you are on Superb Owl Squares.
Get him here.
All right, Tim, who was the first team to play in three consecutive Super Bowls? Looking for the first team to play in three consecutive Super Bowls.
Was it the Bills?
It was not. It was the Miami Dolphins who did it between 71 and 73.
You know what's great is we had all of these questions left over, and we're going to use all of them in this segment right here.
Yeah.
Joshy?
Scott in Milwaukee. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
All right, Scott. The Bills are one of two teams that have reached the Super Bowl four times without winning it. What team is the other team?
Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Wow, that was way louder than I thought it was going to be. Sorry about that.
Everything's broken now.
Just blew out Joshy's eardrums, Ashton's
listeners,
eardrums, Gabe's eardrums, everyone driving into work this morning. Touchy microphones they have here at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Although I am thrilled that one of our Packers fans knew the answer, right? Like, celebrating in the misery of the Minnesota Vikings.
All right, well, we've got about a page worth of questions left. Do we think that's going to be enough?
I do.
We're good.
It feels almost like the kiss of death there, doesn't it?
I think we got plenty. We only have one segment left. In about 45 minutes, we will play the last installment of Superb Owl Squares. Our board is nearly complete. Who will be the last person to join the contestants this weekend? Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on...